Thank you. Good morning. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?"
You may be seated. Thank you, Diane. I've probably read that passage 100 times or so in my life, and this week looking at it, something just jumped off the page at me, and that was about the fruit. Most Christians know that Adam and Eve were not to eat of the fruit, but did you listen to what Diane read? They weren't even allowed to touch it. They weren't allowed to touch it. And like I said, I've read that 100 times, and it's like, whoa. Malcolm Muggeridge has long been dead. He was a famous writer in England. Is it too cold? Too cold. Some people are putting on sweaters. Okay, thanks, Chris. Malcolm Muggeridge was a writer, reporter from a number of years ago, and he was famous. He was from England. He was in India doing some work. As a young man, one evening, it was nice, it was warm. He decided to go out for a swim. Went down to the river, and as he got into the water to swim, he just noticed a little ways off, a woman stepped into the water for her evening bath. And of course, he was tempted, and he began to swim towards her. He wanted to see her. And he had never given in to that, but he had struggled with that in his life over the years, and always been faithful to his wife. But on this particular evening, he was just attracted, and he swam, and he swam, and he swam out to the woman. It was just getting evening and not quite dark. And as he got within a few feet of her, he noticed that she was a leper and very disfigured. Thought he was going to see a beautiful young maiden, and she was a leper and not very attractive, toothless, skin a mess. And he dove back into the water to swim away, and he goes, "What a treacherous, hideous woman." And as a Christian, the Holy Spirit convicted him and said, "It's not her, it's your heart. That's the problem. The problem you have is your own sin." Our subject this morning is running from God as related to the major issue of sin. And I want to say it very clear. The problem of sin. To deny sin is like denying cancer when it's causing you to die. And I underscore that because there is a gradual failing in the evangelical church to talk about sin. Adam and Eve here in Genesis 3 find themselves running, actually hiding from God. Have you ever found yourself hiding or running from God? It is not a very pleasant place to be. And what I want to do this morning is to focus on the real issues of what it looks like to hide or run from God, with my desire that that would lead us back to Him, just in case you might be hiding or running from God. Well, this Genesis 3 passage is going to serve as a great case study for dealing with this subject, running or hiding from God. So as we look at Adam and Eve, what we're going to be looking at, it's going to be us looking into God's mirror, because we're going to see ourselves. And like Malcolm Muggeridge, when he saw that what he thought was something beautiful turned to be something very disfigured and sick, a hideous, leprous woman, that he really was looking at his own sinful heart. What we see, we may not like, but it's there that we must begin. We must begin. And we're going to see ourselves as God sees us. What I want to do is share from this passage in Genesis, simply for something for us to hold on to and to maybe outline and help us in memory, are four revelations about running from God or hiding from God. We want to see what it really looks like. What it really looks like as we look into their lives and we see ourselves, and if we're hiding and running from God, what does that really look like? And the first revelation that we find here is that running from God is a direct result of our rebellion against God's will. Well, that's a strong statement, but absolutely very important. Running from God is a direct result of our rebellion against God's will. Verse 6 of this passage that was read, very familiar story. Here Eve says, she also gave some to her husband and he ate. Now, God did not say eat of the fruit of the tree. God did say do not eat of the fruit of the tree. But they disobeyed God and they ate, which resulted in their running and hiding from God. Now, you can speculate all you want why God said don't do it. And we could probably run in circles with different answers of why God would say, you can eat of all of this, but don't eat of this tree. And you could probably come up with some good theological reasons. But the bottom line is, they disobeyed God. And the direct result, they're running from Him. They're hiding from Him. Actually, He said, don't even touch it. Don't even touch it. The reason for their running and their hiding was their sin, their rebellious disobedience. We can't neglect that. Running from God and hiding from God is the natural result of sin and obedience. Disobedience. Are you running from God? Are you hiding from God? Now, maybe on a slightly humorous level, if it wasn't so pathetic, it would be a comedy. Honestly, can you imagine trying to run and hide from God? I mean, think about it, running and hiding from God. It's really impossible. See, you can't run fast enough, or you can't run far enough to get away from God. You could jump on my Harley Davidson that's going to go 120 miles an hour, not with me on it. Or you could jump on a crotch rocket, a sports bike that's going to go 180, but you can't go fast enough to run from God. You can't dig a deep enough hole or travel to the deepest part of outer space and hide from God. You can't do it. And it's amazing that some people think they can. I'm going to run from God. I'm going to hide from Him. I'll just run, you know. And you know, thank God. Thank Him for that. Because we need to be found. We need to be found. You look at God's mirror and see, He did find them. And He will find us. He will find you. It's not, hey, preacher, that's nice. That's a good sermon stuff. I'm glad you talked on it. Yeah, I'm running from God, but He ain't going to find me. He will find you. Look at God's mirror here. There will always be sin and disobedience at the root of our trying to hide from God. Always. Always. From the time that I was a teenager growing up in southwestern Pennsylvania, in a little town called McDonald, southwest of Pittsburgh, about 20 miles, from the time I was a teenager until I was 23 years of age, I ran from God. I knew about God. I knew about Jesus. I knew about the Bible. I knew about the gospel. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew I needed to come to Jesus. I knew that. But I ran from Him. But He found me. He found me. I was living in sin and disobedience, and I was running on empty. Some of you have read my personal story, my little track thing called Running on Empty. That's my personal testimony. Running from God is a direct result of our sin and disobedience against God's will. A second revelation. Running from God always leads to shame and broken relationships and broken fellowship with Him. Always. Verse 7 and 8. And they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and they hid from the Lord God among the trees. It's like, I mean, you know, these trees are going to protect us kind of thing. Because of their sin, they were filled with shame and they saw their nakedness and they made man-made fig leaf stuff. Man-made fig leaf clothes. Wow. Paradise gained to paradise lost, to quote Milton, okay? Adam and Eve had to learn to sew. Really, they sewed fig leaves together. You know, no Joann fabrics around, or whatever the popular one today is, I don't know. And they sewed these fig leaves together, and let's be honest, I'm sure it was not a fashion statement stuff, you know, not a red carpet kind of garment. But they had to get covered. They had to get covered. Their once peaceful and healthy relationship with each other and with God was being shattered and now reduced to shame and broken fellowship with the Creator. Could end the sermon right there. Running and hiding from God always leads to broken relationships and broken fellowship with God. Sin leads to shame and broken fellowship with God. Now, I know just as those words come out of my mouth, that somebody's thinking, but the gospel is good, you know? I mean, just come to Jesus and feel good. And everything's going to be fine. Well, you come to Jesus and you're going to feel good, certainly. And everything is going to be fine according to His will. Different than my will. But I want to tell you that if you're running from God, there will be broken relationships. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You take me out to lunch, we'll talk about it. But it will happen. And there will be broken fellowship with God it just happens that way. In Luke chapter 15, if you're familiar with that chapter, it's all about the lostness of man, and God loves lost people and he wants them found. In Luke 15, we find the famous story of the prodigal son, his disobedience and his running from his father led to a mess, and it led to a pig pen mess of shame and broken fellowship with his family and with his father. Running from God and not dealing with our sin does lead to shame and guilt and puts great distance between us and our Heavenly Father. And we, like the prodigal son, are maybe waking up finding ourselves in a distant land, or like Adam and Eve, hiding among the trees in bondage and in fear and in shame. Now I am naked before God and I got to cover it up. I got to cover this up. And I love verse 9. I mean, just put a little line under it or mark it. And this is where God comes to them and he says, "Where are you?" I just love that. "Where are you, Adam and Eve?" Now, God doesn't need us to tell him where we are. He already knows where you are. What he is doing, he knew where Adam and Eve was. And he said, "Where are you?" What he wants is, he wants them to admit where they are and confess what they were doing. They were running and trying to hide from him and coming to that place of no more denial. No more denial. No more glossing it over. No more, "It isn't so bad." No more, "I can deal with this. I got this." No more of that. Where are you? You see, God speaking to you today. Where are you? Third revelation, running from God resorts to blaming others for our problems. Running from God resorts to blaming others for our problems. Verses 12 through 13, so well known. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit." I mean, blame it on Connie. Blame it on the wife. And then the woman goes, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Classic victim mentality. I am where I am because they made me do it. I am where I am. I am hiding and running from you, God. God, everyone is to blame but me. I would not be where I am, hiding among the trees, naked, sewing fig leaves together, if it wasn't for them. Him or her or whatever group or organization or whatever. Blame others. Blame the system. Blame the boss. Blame bad luck. But you know the bottom line to all of that? It's about blaming God. It's about blaming God. Because Adam is saying, "I ate. Yeah, I ate. But the woman that you made..." See how he's blaming God? "The woman that you made and gave me, she gave me to eat." And then now Eve, she's exposed. And what does Eve do? She blames it on the serpent. "That God, you made the serpent." And God, now you know you made the tree. If you hadn't made that tree, the bottom line is, you could blame anyone or anything, but the bottom line is you're blaming God. A classic example that we have in our culture today. And I don't want to say that this is the major problem. I'm just using it as an example, an illustration, is the substance abuser who blames his family, blames his job, blames people, blames some situation, but really is blaming God for the hand that he or she was dealt. The spouse that's in an adulterous relationship And an adulterous affair blames the other spouse. Oh, if you were just married to my husband, or if you had my wife to live with, or she hit on me at work, or he hit on me at work, and he pushed all the right buttons, and I couldn't resist. The thief, the liar, they blame their immediate need for stealing, for lying, but in essence, really, it's blaming God. And you could write many, many other examples, and I just throw a few out there. The fourth revelation is running from God requires a God-pleasing sacrifice to bring reconciliation. That might be a bit theological, but I don't want to lose you there. It's very, very important. Probably the most important thing that happened in this chapter. Running from God requires a God-pleasing sacrifice to bring reconciliation. Verse 21. It's so easy to skip over verse 21. It says, the Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife. Made garments of skin. Yes, animal skin. Sorry, Peter. You get that? Yeah. God killed the animals and made them some garments. Their man-made fig leaf garments were not adequate. See, our man-made religious efforts are not adequate to restore us to fellowship with God or to deal with our sin. Very important theological point. Our man-made religious efforts are not adequate to restore us to fellowship with God or to deal with our sin. Our fig leaves just can't do it. But oh, how we like the fig leaf approach, because it is usually the easiest and it is a quick fix approach. And one, though, then here's the serious matter. The fig leaf answer is based on our terms and not God's. If you take away anything this morning, take away that. Our fig leaf approach to trying to find reconciliation in this broken relationship with God, this broken relationship with Jesus, our fig leaf approach is only based on our terms and not God's. And see, God will never accept a quick fix, fig leaf solution for dealing with the seriousness of our sin. Pause, parentheses. Listen very carefully to who you listen to on the TV, in some tape, or some Facebook message that tells you that everything between you and God can be okay, just do the best you can. Especially if you send in a couple hundred bucks now and then, everything will be fine. That's a fig leaf approach. That's a man-made thing. And it's not God's way, because God had to provide the garments that they needed. Beautiful description, as we see in the New Testament, of putting on the garments of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the animals had to shed their blood. You think when God killed those animals for those garments, that it was just kind of like, poof, everything was fine, it just appeared out? No, there was blood. Some animals died. And the garments that God accepts are only the garments that has been provided through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. No other way. See, if you are running and hiding from God, your return to him can only be on his terms, which is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Do not believe the way of the world. All roads lead to God. Yeah, you can believe about Jesus, that's fine, but let me believe in Buddha, and let me believe in him, and let me believe in her, and let me believe in this goddess and this whatever. No. That's fig leaves. And God said, there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be shed blood. And of course, we know that Jesus is the perfect lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. And he shed his blood. That is very true for our eternal destiny. That is very true for our salvation. It is true for our daily dealing with sins. We must confess those sins and come to him and live according to his will. Jesus becomes the garments that God wants to put on us. He wants to take off the fig leaves and put on his garments. He wants to take off the fig leaves and put on his garments that he has provided through the shed blood of the perfect sacrifice. What are you wearing today? Are you wearing fig leaves? Are you wearing the garments that he's provided through the righteousness of Jesus Christ? From my own pastoral experience, I have learned that many, many people, and yes, sad to say, some professing Christians are running from Jesus Christ as God's garments. And how that God really wants to deal with our sin and our rebellion. See, there can be no reconciliation without going through Jesus. That is why he is the only way to God. The only way to God. His sacrifice and his way of life, that's God's terms. So if you're running and hiding from God, the return road will always go through Jesus Christ. If it is not through him, you're on the wrong road. Or you may think you're on the right road, but all you're wearing are fig leaves. If you were to die tonight, hypothetically, if you were to die tonight, do you know for certain that you would spend eternity with God in heaven? The most common answer for that is, I hope so. A follow-up question from Evangelism Explosion is this. If you were to die tonight, and you were to stand before God, and he were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Now, if you said, look at my fig leaves. I made them so well. They covered my nakedness. They passed the test for the red carpet in Hollywood. He's going to go, sorry, fig leaves don't get you in. It's only by my gift, God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and the righteous garments of Jesus are given to us. Running from God or hiding from God like Adam and Eve reveal to us certain things. Let me summarize. It's a result of our sinful rebellion against his will. It always leads to shame and broken fellowships and broken relationships and broken fellowship with God. It resorts to blaming others and ultimately blaming God for our problems and where we are, the pig pen mess of the life that we've made, or the fig leaf approach. But it also requires a God-pleasing sacrifice, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, to experience reconciliation. Are you running from God? See, we are in life as people, we are in one of three categories. We are either running and hiding from God, or we're turning and returning to him, Or we're really running with Jesus. Now, that's the most exciting place to be. I'll tell you, I'm running with Jesus. So if you're running away from him, man, do the repentance thing and turn and say, I'm coming to you, Jesus. And then you're going to let him reach down and touch you, and you can be running with him. And that's an exciting way to live. Will you, if you've never done it, in faith put on the garments of Jesus Christ's righteousness? Let's stand for prayer. Before we close in prayer, if you walked in here this morning, say, hey, I'm going to church, it's Sunday, it's a rainy day, and it's a good place to be, but the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, and I know he is, and you're going, man, Pastor, you nailed it today, man, you hit me right in the face. That's not me, that's the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, come to Jesus. Take off the fig leaves and say, Jesus, here's my life. I want you. Pray that prayer. Even as I close in prayer, say, Jesus, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of hiding. And if you pray that in your own heart, in your own mind, and you recognize, you confess that you're a sinner and you need the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it's only by faith. Share that with me afterwards, or share that with somebody in the congregation. The angels rejoice when one sinner comes home to Jesus. Let me pray. Thank you, Father. You love us. You love us. And you have provided the perfect garments through the righteousness of Jesus. Forgive us when we've attempted to put on the fig leaves to cover up the mess that we've made. Speak now, and you know the people that you're dealing with and the one that needs you, the one that's hiding or running. Let them come home to you, Heavenly Father. Bless us now as we will leave this building. Let us breathe in the presence of your Holy Spirit. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.